needs more joy. Yes, it does. And you're just the joy to spread it around. How about that? You take that that assignment, you take that you commission you to go spread joy, you know, spread the love of Christ. We talked about that this season of Advent for this week, the shepherd's candle, the joy as well, candle representation could be shepherding the joy. And so I want to look at that area of joy. Joy is a positive attitude or a pleasant emotion. Joy is a delight. You know, we can think of joy, and if I say that and just said, I'm going to give you 5 or 10 seconds to think of something joyful in your life, I would imagine you could come up with something joyful, something that's happy, you know. Hopefully you can do that. But when we look at it in this area of the Bible, there are several areas of the Bible that speaks of joy, that joy is mentioned. It could be listed as that of gladness. It could be listed as contentment and cheerfulness. Those areas of joy. Joy, being content. Joy of being, what we said, cheerful, being glad. For God's people, though the joy we have should be that of the holy and pure, when you really think about it, I think it ties in, and just my thoughts, nothing that I've found, but, you know, we think of love and how the Bible speaks of love and how the world thinks of love. Two basically different, both ends of the spectrum apart, aren't they? The world's focus of what love is and what they want to tell you, and what I would tell you as love of Christ, what is that love? I think the same thing could mean in the or fall into this area of joy. The world has a way of what they think joy is. And then when I get into the Christian side, or when I get into what God says and the Word of God and what Jesus is about, that joy is just a little different than the joy of the world. Isn't there a song or a hymn out there, or not a hymn, but a chorus we'd sing? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. So if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. The joy that I have, the world can't take away. But if I'm in the world and the joy that the world gives me, that joy, the world is really good at taking away. When it's done with you, when it's used you up, whatever the case might be, or if it's to go on to something bigger and better, you may be set aside and said, well, we're done with you. You're on your own now. But this joy that I've got, the one that I got from Christ, the one that I received from my Heavenly Father, the world cannot take that away. I'll fight them for it. How about you? And that joy that I have is deep. It's lasting. It's a strength, I think, at times, isn't it? That joy. It's like intestinal fortitude, you know? I got joy. I got the joy, 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 joy. Where? Where? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And that goes like, at the peace that passeth understanding, you know? It goes on and on. Joy, peace, all of these things that we are benefactors. We receive these things from our relationship because we have with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ that came as a babe in the manger before my time, but he was a babe in the manger. Grew up and did miraculous things. Died on the cross, rose from the dead, receded at the right hand of God the Father now, and he's going to come back. But the joy that I've got is all through that. Because of him. Because of him. The peace I've got is because of him. The strength I've got, it's because of him. I would encourage you today, if you don't have any of that, to try to get some. Amen. He's freely given it out. Freely. No lines. Don't have to stand in line at 4 o'clock in the morning to get the best of God. Hallelujah. What we find is this joy that we get through that of God is that it rises above our circumstances. And it focuses on the character of God. Isn't that great to do? Isn't it nice to be able to, even if you're going through a difficult time, can you not focus on God and think of Him and thank Him and praise Him and worship Him? And, oh Lord, it is difficult that I'm going through, but I've got joy and I'm not going to give it up. I've got peace and I'm not going to run to and fro. I've got strength and I'm not going to waver. And it's all because of You, Lord. So this type of joy that we get and that we're talking about today is that type of joy that rises above your circumstances. It focuses on the character of God. God's characters or characteristics as well as His acts are cause for rejoicing, isn't it? You know, when you read His Word, and especially at this time of the year, but any time throughout the year that you read anything in Scriptures, that, you know, when you see God's hand move, when you see God show up, when you see God perform what He has told the people He's going to perform, don't you just go, wow, God, awesome God, great and mighty are You. We see it throughout His Word. That sustains me. How about you? That's why it's important to stay in His Word. That's why it's important to read stories over and over again. Even, I don't care if you know them 100 times. Read them 101 and you'll get something different out of it. Read it at the time when you need to read it and you say, well, Lord, why are You taking me to this? I've read it before. Well, He's taking you to that maybe passage or that story or that situation that's taking place in His Word, because today you're going through something. Or maybe it's not today, but He knows your future. He knows tomorrow and the end of the week. And He said, Tim, you need to read this because it's going to be what you're going to need to stand on Friday. When that situation comes on Thursday, your spirit, because of the Holy Spirit, is going to draw that back to you, what you read on Monday or Saturday or whatever. And you're going to be sustained with strength. You're going to be sustained with peace. You're going to be sustained with joy, whatever it might be. The nature of true joy centers around God. Remember that. The nature of true joy, it centers around that of God. We find it in the Father in Psalms 32:11. New King James says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So, do I have any righteous here today? You're the righteousness of God, right? Not your righteousness, it's His righteousness in you. But as He is in us, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Is your heart upright? You know, are you going on? Are you moving through this world? Are you moving through life, taking on the good and the bad? God will see you through the good. God will be there for the bad. Either way, He's always there. Amen. Romans 5:10 and 11 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's Jesus. He had to be born first, so that He could die. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, Jesus' life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Easy Read Version says that at the very end where we've received the reconciliation, it would be this: it is because of Jesus that we are now God's friends. You all had a friend when you were growing up, didn't you? Wasn't there a special friend out there that you could always go to and you guys were buds? Maybe the guys were buds and the girls were what, sisses? I don't know. Buds. Budettes. I don't know. But we can kind of understand a friend, don't we? I hope you've got a friend or have had a friend that really was a dear, dear friend. But it is now because of Jesus that we are now God's friends, reconciled back to Him. Oh, the joy I have! I'm reconciled back to my Creator. Hallelujah. So that's in the Father. Then we find the joy that comes through that of the Son. John 15:11, Jesus speaking, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," whose joy? Jesus' joy, "will remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Do you like to be full? Hey, how many here like to be full after you're done eating? Sometimes I get too full after I'm done eating. I don't even want to move after I'm done eating. 20 minutes after I've been full of eating, I'm going, why did I get so full? All of a sudden, everything starts settling in, you know? That last, you know, scoop of mashed potatoes hits. Thump. You know? That last half a slice of bread, roll. Thump. You know, it's like, okay, I guess I should have stopped. Full. We've all been full, I hope. When you look at that as that your joy may be full, take a look at that full part. It says that your joy may be made full, complete, and overflowing. Is your joy complete? Is your joy overflowing? Is your joy full? I hope it is today. If you've got Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've got Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you ought to be running on all 18 cylinders, 26 cylinders, however many cylinders that could be fathomable within us. We ought to be running on every cylinder. But it's through God and rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. You know, think of the natural when you've been reconciled back to a situation. Maybe you've had some things in your family that maybe there's some aught and some things that, you know, throughout the years. And sometimes you don't even know why you're distant in your family sometimes, or a friend. Maybe it could be that friendship. You know, you were friends for a while, and then all of a sudden something happened and that friend was a dear friend. Is like, I don't know whatever happened. I thought everything was good, but it seems like we've got distance between us. Something has come between us. Well, what became between us and God was what? Sin. What became between my friend and me, I don't know, could have been a disagreement or something that was characterized wrong, or we thought something. It could have been something in your family that separated you and your family. It could have been somebody talking, somebody said something that got upset, and boy, they've held that hostility all through the years. But then something happens and you decide to contact that person or go to that friend and say, you know, I don't know whatever happened back then, but I just remember you as my best of friends. And I don't know why we've separated and we're not that way again, but I apologize. If it's something that I did or said or didn't do, forgive me, because I cherish your friendship. If it's in your family, it might be, I don't know what was said, who said it, maybe it was taken wrong, I don't know. But if I could have any way of helping, you know, or bring this back together, I would like to just ask for your forgiveness and reconcile. To reconcile, to be brought back together. Jesus reconciled us back to God. God came in flesh through that of the babe, through that in the manger, through Jesus, to reconcile us back to him because he loves you so much. Because of that, my joy can be made full, complete, and overflowing. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. There's another one of those choruses out there that can just kind of go through your head sometimes, you know. Rejoice in the Lord always. This would be, we break that apart and let's amplify it. Delight, take pleasure in him. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight in him. Take pleasure in him. He wants you to delight in him. He wants you to take pleasure in him. Amen. Jesus. Don't keep him polished and on a sill someplace, or don't keep him in that manger, or don't keep him on the cross, or don't keep him down or in the fields or doing carpentry work or whatever the case is. Know that he's matured, know that he's perfected. God has perfected himself through that of Jesus and now seated at the right hand of him in heaven. Take pleasure in him. I think to be able to take pleasure in him, you've got to be with him every day, don't you? Kind of like let him be. Is he your friend? Is he there for you? How many people, when they get a present, they keep it in a box? You know, it's like, oh, this is a wonderful gift. I've always wanted this, and I'm not going to open it because I just want to keep it in the box so that I can always refer back to it and look at it throughout the years or throughout this year and just see what it looks like. There's not too many of us that keep things in a box. It's a shame that many people keep Jesus as a sweet little baby, you know? You go out in the world, oh, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. Oh, Jesus, the babe in the manger. Well, do you know that that babe grew up to be a man? Do you know that he died on the cross for you and your sins? Do you know that he has arose and he seats at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you? Do you know that this babe, that maybe you are so meticulous and you don't want to unwrap him from that manger, has done so much more for you that you have not even scratched the true benefit of him? You know? It's because we've kept him as a babe in the manger. Let him grow up, amen, because he has grown up. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In Romans, it talks about it in the Holy Spirit, so we can have joy through that of God the Father. We have joy coming that through of Jesus. We have joy now through the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 16, 17, Romans chapter 14, 16 to 17, therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just get a little bit of the Holy Spirit and you'll have joy. You cannot be with the Holy Spirit and joy, they just go together, I think, you know. You can't have one without the other. You can have joy without him, but it's not the true joy that I have with him, the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The joy that we are talking of that God gives us, that God's characteristics that speaks about this, the nature of true joy that centers around God, this type of joy that rises above your circumstance and focuses on the character of God, comes through the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, in such there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. That joy shows up again. Now quickly, as we get into the New Testament and just touching upon the birth of Jesus, Matthew 2, 9 and 10 says this. The shepherds here are talking, or it's over in regards to the shepherds. When they had heard the king, you know, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and it stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When you see the things in your life and you see how Jesus is tapped into your life, if you've allowed him to become Lord of your life, when those things happen and things are happening and you're just going through a tough time and all of a sudden things get better or you're just enjoying things and you can have a happy time, you know, I think back that my joy, my exceedingly joy is through that. It'd be like that of the shepherds when they saw that star and it stopped above where it says here, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That star was above who? Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus, Matthew 28, 8 says, so when they went out quickly, remember the tomb, now he's a babe, now he's born, now he's in the tomb, he's died. Now we're talking about when they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to bring his disciples word. How can you have fear and joy at the same time? Because the fear was, oh, what did we just see? But the joy, I believe, is it's happened. He's no longer there. He said he would not be there, and he's not there. The joy that we have. You know, it doesn't say like they went out with great fear and trepidation and crying, and although they had fear, but I had joy. Because he's not there. So that's through Jesus there. Joy is being expressed in the New Testament through that birth, through the resurrection. We find it also with this in Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. You know, you can go out there and battle things and pray over things and do these things for God. But this is what you really need to rejoice over. What? It says here, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice over knowing that your names are written, or your name is written in heaven. Do you rejoice over that? Or do you just take it like, eh, so they say it. So I'm in a book. I'm in everybody's book. You know, I'm sure I'm somewhere in somebody's book. My goodness. But no matter what you do for the things of Jesus, for the kingdom of God, and praying, and even casting out things and demons, and just praying over things, and you see God's hand and moving, oh, tremendous, you know. But really, you know, rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because Jesus, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. For healings in Acts 8:7-8, for unclean spirits are crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed. And there was what? Great joy in the city. So we see that through healings, through the miraculous, through miracles, we do. We can get joyful in that. Hallelujah. Has anybody been to a crusade or been to a meeting, a special type meeting where they've had, you know, healings and prayers and prophetic and things are happening and people are just joyful? You know, something happens and a person is healed of a whatever. Does everybody go, oh, great. Yeah, healing. Big deal. No! You know, the person comes up there and maybe they're, whatever the case is, they can't see or whatever, and all of a sudden they get hit by the Spirit. They get touched by a healing by just someone praying, and the Spirit just touches them. And they go, I can see! I imagine everybody in the auditorium would break out with joy and just exuberation like, hallelujah, glory to God! Hallelujah! Healings bring on joy. Great joy in the city, it says here, when many that were possessed and paralyzed and the lame and that were healed. And this is something here as we kind of wrap down here is that, you know, we always think, well, I just went out and shared a little bit of the word, shared the gospel. Oh, this person said a prayer, but it wasn't like they had a room full of 500 people saying all the prayer with me. I guess it meant something. Now it says this in Luke 15:7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy. You want to bring joy into heaven? Go out there and share the good news and the gospel and have somebody say the prayer and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. It says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. More joy. There's more activity in heaven when that one person says, I don't know how to do this. Could you help me, lead me on? Is there a special prayer? And I hope you're able to just say, the only special prayer I said when I got saved is I just said, God, you sent Jesus for me. I'm a sinner. But now you've sent Jesus, and by his blood I've been cleansed of that. If I repent and ask him into my life, in my heart, come into my heart now. Come, Father, we thank you. That gets heaven just going, man. There's a party going on around here. A time to shout and celebrate. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There's a party celebrating up there, man. When you received Christ, they were rejoicing. There was a party taking place. Hallelujah. Luke 15:10 says, likewise, I say to you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy that we find in the New Testament. So you see, our life should be filled with joy day in and day out, among other things, among strength and peace and joy, you know, and maturing and perfecting and growing into the things of God. Whether things are going well or when hardships come along, true joy will transcend the waves of life. This type of joy comes from us having a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. So remember that true joy transcends the waves of life. I don't care if you're up here, you got joy. If you're down here, you should have joy. If you're here, you should have what? Joy. It's best if we can intertwine our lives with that of Jesus' life. He will help us walk through adversity without sinking into the debilitating lows, you know. And the lows are out there every day, every other day. Something's happening. Can take you down or cause you to sink. But He's there to help us walk through adversity without sinking into the debilitating lows. He will also be there when things are prospering. And really, it's to help us keep a level head, you know. Don't get too holy. Don't get too, look at what I've got. Look at how God's blessing me. Oh, I'm going to share what God has blessed me with, but I'm not going to boast and be proudful and pride and all that, you know. It's that thing that we just have to have that even keel of things, you know, that, you know, because when people see that, they go, well, of course you're excited and joyful because look what you got. You know, it's only when they really see you when you're down in the valley times and you're going through a time, but yet you can still reflect some joy upon a situation or at least show joy within you and kind of upbeat a little bit and say, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to happen. But again, this joy that I've got, the world didn't give it to me, and this world's not going to take it from me. It helps us stay level-headed. The joy of living with Jesus Christ daily will keep us level-headed no matter how high or how low our circumstances take us. Amen? And that's when you're walking that walk. Walk the walk. Amen? You can be walking on cloud nine when cloud nine's got all your stuff on it and you've got all that stuff. But if your feet hit the ground and you don't got that stuff, what happens now? Well, I'm going to still walk in joy. I'm going to still walk in a surety that my God has my best for me. And if the enemy did come and take it from me, I'm just going to call it back and have it restored. And when God restores it, He'll actually restore more than what the enemy took from you. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So, today, joy. Tomorrow, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Father. Father, as we speak of today that joy, I ask you now, Lord, to just bring that joy down, Lord. Fill our lives. Fill the very situations that we're in. The Father, I pray for the days ahead that joy will be just so evident. And even though, Lord, we may struggle in a situation, even though, Lord, Father, there's a lot of, like, even flu and viruses going around and coughing and wheezing, I still pray for joy in those lives, Lord. I pray for healing. And the joy is going to be there either way. Hallelujah. So, Lord, as what was shared today through your scriptures, through that of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, of where joy intersects our lives here in this time and this place, I find that it's always there. And it's because your love for us. Father, as we go out today, we go out in joy. We go out in strength. It's because of what you have done and accomplished for us and what you have freely given to us. We thank you. Jesus' name. Amen.